The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions.
Okay, so we're back on this topic after a hiatus from the topic. And we did this halacha, and then we were up to this halacha in Gimel 2, I think. And that's actually in this week's Parsha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu karov l'shava'as ha'aniyim. God is close to the outcry of the aniyim. Shenemar says of shavas aniyim ata tishma. The outcry of aniyim you hear. Lefikach, and we said that that's not in a pasuk, that's in the nishmas of Spartan. Lefikach tarech lihizar mita'akasam. Therefore, you need to be careful. I think mita'akasam. I don't know if that means be careful not to cause them to call out to Hashem, or be careful when they call out. It must be careful not to cause them to call out to Hashem. Yeah. Right. Shari Bris Krusalem, because there's a covenant sealed with them. And I think we looked up Bris Krusalem and we only found that one other case. That was the last question we came to. Yeah. Shinemar Vahaya ki yitzak elai v'shimati ki hanunani. It will be when they call out to me, I will listen because I am Hanun. Now, I'm in a little bit of a conflict because I actually want to talk about this pasuk in my tefillah shiur on Wednesday night. So I don't want to tip my hand yet. So I'm kind of, given that combined with the fact that it's a new week, it's been 2 weeks. Let's go on to the next halacha. Okay, I'll address it in my tefillah shiur. Okay, new halacha. Kol anosin tzedakah la'ani b'sefer panim ra'os upanav kavushos bakarka. Anyone who gives tzedakah to a poor person with a angry face, lobapanim ne'imos, not with a pleasant face. It doesn't mean angry, like, I think it means like a, you know, some negative face. Yeah, begrudging is a good word, yeah. Afilu nasan lo elef zehuvim, even if you give him $1,000, or how many zehuvim, ibid zehuso ihivsida. That's a weird phrase. He loses his zehus, or hivsida, or causes it to be lost. I don't know the difference between ibid. That's what I don't know. And I don't know why he has to say it. See, Ibed as a zechus ha-mitzvah o gara me'erka. Oh, he sees it or diminishes it. That would be, that's a better way to say it. Yeah, diminishes, right. Sorry, and I skipped the phrase. Upanav kavushos pakarka, his face hidden, not in the ground. The footnote qualifies mufnos klapikarka. So you give it to him like looking down, like, you know, like the way little kids, you know, who are forced to give tzedakah, give it, you know. So you lose your zechus or you diminish it. Ella, rather, no saying those b'sefer panim yafos uvesimcha, rather you should give it to him with a cheerful face and with joy. Umis onin imo al tsaraso, and he should bemoan his tsara along with a poor person, like empathize with him. Makbili says umis onin imo mishtatef imo b'tsaro kishu misane es tsarosav. He should join in with his suffering. Kishu misane es tzaros. I don't know what misane means here. I don't know if it means like when he's like listing. I don't know. His tzaros. Okay, and then he quotes Pazuk Shnemar. Im lo vachisi. This is Eov talking about how righteous he is. I think im lo vachisi l'ksheyom agma nafshi la'evyon. If I did not cry for the person who has a harsh day, and if my soul did not feel anguish for the poor person. So that's him saying, I did feel anguish for the poor person, and I did empathize with him. And you should speak to him with supplications and consolations. Shnemar, as it says, "Belev almana arnin." That's a weird word. The heart of the poor arnin. I don't know what that is. Does he say? No. Arnin. Put away the thing. Yeah. Okay. So I guess the question is, let's just talk this out in terms of how do you diminish your zechus? Like, first of all, I think the harder one is how do you lose your zechus, right? Like, if you gave the guy $1,000, don't tell me that that's not, like, you know, fine, you didn't do it in the best way. I understand, like, it's not the best act of tzedakah. The next halacha? The last halacha?
It sounds similar. In the last halacha, like, don't cause sorrow.
Right. So, right. So,
in that halacha, like, when you mean don't mean about it.
Okay, so that's another thing also. Is it's definitely related to the last halacha, but I would say you know, afflicting the Ani to the point where like you're oppressing him and he cries out, to me, that's different than just like giving tzedakah and like not looking happy, you know? Okay, 29:13 in Eov. 29:13 is the blessings of the forlorn would be upon me, and I would bring joyous song to a widow's heart. Oh, Arnin. I mean, I know Rina and Ranana is song, but Arnin is, I have no idea what conjugation that is, whatever. Yeah. Right. So what do we get from this? Yeah, what about that?
Okay, so that
is a good approach. So okay, right. So let me just restate that. So Chaim's saying that on a philosophical level, you're missing the point of tzedakah, which is that this money is not yours. God gave it to you, and part of him giving it to you is to do tzedakah with it. So if you have any begrudging attitude whatsoever, you're kind of missing out on that entire fundamental idea of tzedakah. Okay, that's a good approach. I was thinking that when we did the Mor Nevuchim, the Rama on the Mor Nevuchim with tzedakah, he mentioned that the essence of tzedakah, even when you help another person, is you doing tzedakah to your rational soul by giving it what it's due. And there's also the v'halachta bedrachav aspect of tzedakah, which is emulating God. And it sounds like if you are doing this in an angry way or begrudging way, you're also really not developing the midos that you should be developing. And you would think, you know, for a normal mitzvah, the midos are like more of the tamah mitzvah. Here we've seen that in the very embedded in the core of the mitzvah itself, like especially the losase of hiding your eyes from the poor, there's like uprooting stinginess is part of the actual substance of the mitzvah itself. You know, like this is not just a wealth redistribution system like a la like Soviet Union or whatever, you know, like this is yes, it's true. It's there to redistribute wealth, but it's designed to make people into rahmanim and people who are halakha b'drachav in terms of tzedakah and chesed. So like, if you're blocking that, you're like blocking a big part of the mitzvah. What? Yeah, I think both ideas make sense. Okay, good. Let's go. Yeah.
I guess you're still doing the action.
Yes, that's the hard part about Ebed, about losing your zechus, you know?
Making it less, definitely.
Yeah. So yeah, how about this? You're definitely doing the mitzvah, but you're losing the perfection of the mitzvah in these sense. Yeah.
Doing the action is like a step towards.
That's the thing. That's what I think. I think that there's a difference between, we do say mitok shalol lishma ba'al lishma. I feel like we had this discussion about some other topic earlier this year, right? There's a difference between doing an action. Oh, no, I had it in my Friday Q&A with the women, that there's a difference between when you do a mitzvah for the not the best motive, then that's a step in the right direction. But if you do the mitzvah in a way that undermines the development, then that's different. The example I gave is like, the Chazal say like, lomid lakanter. Like, ordinarily we say when you learn, then you should learn even shalol lishma, shemitok shalol lishma ba'al lishma. But then there's all these other statements that say anyone who learns shalol lishma, it's better if you were never born, or if you learn shalol lishma, it's better if they took the afterbirth and smothered you with it. You know, so the question is like, how do you reconcile those two? So Baalei Tosfos say that those second statements are if you learn lakanter, which means you're learning just in order to like disprove people or without any regard for the truth. So that would actually block your ability to advance the lishma, according to, you know, one opinion. All right, I'm happy with this. That's good.
Yeah.
Okay, next. Shal ha'ani mimachav ein biyadcha klum litein lo, paiseihu b'dvarim. If you ask an ani, ani asks you, you don't have anything to give to him, then you should appease him with words. I told this story at the lifters that the woman and the guy who come around on Fridays. So I was here on Friday and I hadn't been here for so long on Friday. Usually I bring my wallet only to give to them because I don't drive on Fridays to here. You know, so I just totally forgot to bring money. So like I knew this halacha and I went up to her and I was like trying to be Mephisa of the Dvar. I said, I'm really sorry. Like I didn't remember to bring money this time. Like I'll bring next time. And she said, you want me to give it to you? You know, and then she like laughed. And I thought that was a really funny interaction, you know, but that's a funny thing also. I mean, I didn't intend to prompt a joke in her, but that would be an example also of like relating to the Ani as a human being. That's going to be the thing that actually brings them comfort, you know? So like having a normal, like, if you think about it, these people can't have normal human interactions with non-Aniyan, and even with other Aniyan, you know, it's going to be compromised. So anything that like treats them with your humanity, which is, I think, why the facial expression is such a big component, that when you either look angry at them, like they're a burden on society, or you don't look at them at all, like you just like ignore their humanity, that's like the most demoralizing thing, you know? And so like, you know, I think that's the Mephiso B'Dvarim, I think is, in other words, it's not like I can't give you money. So like, I'll give you words like in substitute, it's not a substitute for money. It's like trying to touch their humanity, like, you know, and treat them as a person to make them feel, you know, real. Yeah. It's usher to shout at an ani. I think ligor is to shout at. He says linzov, to spurn, I think. Or to raise your voice at him in yelling. Shalibo nishbar v'nidke, because his heart is broken and crushed. Bar hu omer lev nishbar v'nidke elokim lo sivze. And it says, a heart that is broken and crushed, God will not do not despise. See, so that's interesting here. Also, he's trying to tie it into Midos HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'omer, l'hachios ruch shvalim, l'hachios lev nidkayim. There's a Hilchos Purim reference. Rambam quotes that at the end of Hilchos Purim. That to enliven the spirits of the lowly and to give life to the hearts of the crushed. V'oy l'mi shehichlim es ha'ani. Oy lo. Woe unto the one who shames an ani, embarrasses him. Woe unto him. Ela yihi lo ke'ev. Okaav, rather you should be for him like a father, bein barachamim, bein bedvarim, whether in mercy or in words, shnemar, or both in mercy and in words. Shnemar says, av anochi la'evyonim, I am a father to the poor. Yeah, so a lot of ideas here. So the first part seems to be in line with what we've read so far, is you can't make them feel bad, right? But then, so why does he have to invoke Lev nishbar v'nidke elokim lo sivze, that God does not despise a broken heart? Well, that's a weird pasuk to quote to support this thing. I understand, don't make them feel bad, but saying God doesn't despise a broken heart. Like, is that like what I'm tempted to say, and this might just be totally me projecting here, but there is a part of us that despises downtrodden people, you know, because we don't want to see ourselves, we don't want to conceive of the fact that this could be me. And so you break identification with them, you know, or you view it, you frame it in a more utilitarian way. Like, these people are like mooching off of society, or you make judgments on them. Like, oh, they're why don't they just get a job? You know? So there's a despising of them. And so he's quoting this pasuk and saying it is not in line with Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu to despise the Aniyan. We have to figure out what that idea is. But in other words, I think it's speaking to that feeling that like we do tend to look down on them, or even like judging yourself as superior. Like look at me, like I'm able to make a living. And so why can't, you know, I'm better than this guy. So I think that's something that we have to think about here. And then we have to figure out what this idea is of being an av to the ani, whether in mercies or in words. I feel like that's just one of those like artificial categories. Like I understand, let's say like, I understand, a rav to a talmid has like a father type, you know, role, but to a poor person, father doesn't quite like click in, you know? Yeah.
And also, I guess I just sort of sounds patronizing and insulting.
Yeah. Right. Right. There you go, boy. You know, like, you know, you shouldn't be, yeah. All right. So let's think about those for tomorrow. Yeah. That's also weird, right? It's very strange, especially given the fact that he's been talking about Devarim the whole time. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I have to also have to look at Eov and see if this is Eov talking or God talking. Probably EO, but we'll see. Okay, let's continue tomorrow. Lean editor.
What's the status of the pool?
If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeWeiss. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweiss Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweiss, and my Zelle/Chase QuickPay and PayPal are MattSchneeweiss@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor an article, shiur, or podcast episode, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at rabbischneeweiss@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening, thank you to my readers for reading, and thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.